Welcome to the podcast for Boomer Women, where we are embracing the journey. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. There's this proverb that says, "Fortune favors the bold," and today's guest lives that proverb. There's another idiom that says, "When life gives you lemons, make lemonade." Tina made lemonade, limoncello, and a mile-high lemon meringue pie. She launched her adventurous life at age 45, so don't for a second think I'm chatting with a youth today. Be prepared for a few F-bombs during our conversation. Given the title of Tina's upcoming book, it's apropos. Some of the audio today is a little sketchy. That's what happens when I catch up with a guest somewhere in the world, somewhere that doesn't always have great connectivity. Stick with us, it's worth your while. Listen now to my conversation with Tina Coleman. Are you feeling burnt out, overlooked, or stuck in old narratives? Are you ready to reclaim confidence, embrace reinvention, and design extraordinary new chapters filled with purpose, joy, and unapologetic authenticity? Even perhaps just part of that. My guest today was able to rewrite her story during midlife, get sober, lose 90 pounds, move abroad, and live on passive income for 5 years. She says if she can do it, anyone can. I know several women who would be thrilled to do just one of those things. Tina has a book soon to be released that redefines what it means to be a woman at midlife. As you listeners know, I often say we're in midlife because we've started. We're certainly not finished, which means we're somewhere in the middle. Having read her bio at Podmatch, I'm fairly confident she'd approve of one of my favorite quotes from Jen Sincero. There's nothing as unstoppable as a freight train full of fuck yeah. You can laugh out loud, Tina. It's okay.
Okay, good, good. I love Jen Sincero, so that was perfect.
Yeah. Tina Coleman, welcome to the podcast for Boomer Women, where we are embracing the journey.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
No, this is going to be great. I'm looking forward to this. Now, you certainly grabbed life by the horns at age 45. As much as you want to share, tell us about Tina Coleman pre-45 and then what's happened since 45.
Okay. Well, I am originally from Des Moines, Iowa. If we want to go that far back, I'm originally from Des Moines, Iowa. So, and I grew up in a very dysfunctional family where I just didn't like fit in. Like I never felt like I fit in, and I always felt like, why can't we move? Why do we have to stay here? Because we stayed in the same house growing up, and I went to the same junior high that my mother did. So I was always like, why can't we move? Why can't we do something different? As an adult, I understand that, but as a child, I always had this passion to move. And so when I was in Iowa, I actually got into a not-for-profit organization and I became a spiritual teacher. And so I moved around a lot. And the first place they moved me to was Columbia, Missouri. Short, like within a month of moving there, I got into a car accident. I was rear-ended by a semi, and I became a massage therapist through that. So, yeah.
Physician heal thyself.
Exactly. And so it was interesting. So that became my career for 20 years, and I was a spiritual teacher for 7 years. And I moved around a lot in the States, but I always had this really strong desire that I wanted to go other places. And as we progress in our lives, we tend to lose people, and we can lose people very quickly. And so right before my 40th birthday, I lost both my mother and my stepdad 6 months apart very suddenly. So there was no closure. And that really just kind of hit me really hard. And it turned into a very dark downward spiral. And right before my 45th birthday, I found this journal where I was like, I want to travel. I want to go to Italy, Greece, Egypt. Like those were my three big ones. And I was just like, if I don't do it now, when am I going to do it? You know, because we always are like, oh, I don't have the money, I don't have the time, I have kids. Like we have a million excuses. And it just really hit me because my mother passed very suddenly at 58. And I was like, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. You know, we always want to think, oh, I'll retire and then I'll travel and I'll do this and I'll do that. But we're not guaranteed those times. We're not guaranteed good health. And being in Europe and seeing people like hobbling around with, you know, canes and wheelchairs and walkers, It's just hard because it's like traveling is hard. Like it's very physically taxing at times. And I'm a very nervous traveler. I will just say that. I get horrendous traveling. So it's getting better. But I did not start I was never even on an airplane till I was 30. So I started everything really late in life. So if anyone's out there, it's like, oh, I just haven't done it yet. Trust me, if I can do it, you can do it. Because I am such an anxious traveler, but I love traveling. And so, for my 45th birthday, I decided I was going to go to Italy, and I went to Spain also because it was just cheaper to do it that way. And a week before my trip, which I booked non-refundable, I was rear-ended by an 89-year-old lady at a stoplight in Dallas, Texas, where I was living. And that was the ending of my career. I ended up with bulging discs in my neck, which wasn't diagnosed for quite a long time afterwards. But a week before that trip, and I was like, oh, do I go? Do I not go? Like, I didn't think I was going to make it, honestly, and probably shouldn't have. But I'd booked everything non-refundable, and it was that Thursday before leaving. I was like, okay, I think I can do this. And I'd never traveled internationally before. So, I mean, I'd been
Ignorance
on a
is
cruise.
bliss, perhaps.
I know, I'd been on some cruises, but that's really not traveling as far as I'm concerned. So yeah, no, I actually ended up going and getting a care along the way as well because I needed it. But it's just a different experience going and being engaged in your life and doing something you're excited about and passionate about rather than being at home in bed and just being in pain. You know, those are two very different things. And it's like that just ignited my love of travel and being like, yes, I know I want to live internationally. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I knew I wanted to do it. And that was a huge turning point in my life.
So you got on that first plane or series of planes, whatever it was.
Yes.
And it's interesting that that sort of lit the match.
It absolutely did.
Would it have been the same if you'd gone to somewhere else, or like you went to Italy and Spain, sort of both romantic countries, lots of color, lots of vivacity. Do you think that helped?
It did. I love architecture. I used to live in Chicago, so I love that really amazing European style architecture. That just does it for me. It really does.
Okay, you had some talking points on your profile, and I'm going to use some of them. And I like this one because I know exactly how I'd answer it. But you say that midlife, where we all are, can be the most powerful, vibrant stage of a woman's life. Explain.
Well, I think midlife is just the beginning. It's not an ending. It's like the second chapter of your book, really, or the second half of your play. And by this time, we've made a lot of mistakes. Like, you know, we've had the bad relationships, we've had the money mistakes, had the children, a lot of people have. And, you know, the education, we've done all these things in our life. Now we get to use that as fuel to go into the next half of our life with a lot more awareness, wisdom, passion. You know, we don't have to worry about the same things we used to worry about. You know, it's like most of us, you know, if we're in our 50s, we don't have to worry about getting pregnant anymore. You know, we're not planning on having more children. You know, that's done. So now we get to use that creative energy that our bodies would typically use for having children and use it for creativity, you know, for writing, speaking, painting, dancing, traveling. Like we get to do all those fun things. We get to create on a really big level, not just, you know, giving birth. So it's giving birth to something new and exciting.
That's interesting because I recently interviewed a fellow, a man, whose expression was, "We're done adulting." You know, so we've been the son or the daughter, we've been the employee, we've you know the worker bee, you know, we've been the parent, the spouse, whatever, all that stuff. And now at this stage of life, it's like it's a whole thing. But I love the way that you say, like, as a woman, all that energy and creativity that we put into bearing and raising children, that is done. And so we can take that and go on to the next stage.
Exactly. And so many women are so afraid of being in menopause because I also talk about this in my book, Beyond. I talk about a little bit of everything in my book. But a lot of us are afraid of menopause and we all experience it differently. There's over 30 different symptoms and a lot of us aren't aware of those. But it's like our body is no longer focused on reproducing. You know, we don't have that cycle every month. So our body is going through this internal change and I call it adult puberty. you know? So it's like you're kind of, because you got the hormones going on, you got the sleepless nights, you've got all kinds of crazy things going on in your body, you know? Kind of like when you were a teenager and you just fight with your parents for no reason, or just be like, yeah, like we do that, you know? Menopause, our emotions are up and down, and we may or may not sleep, and you know, but it's like being able to embrace that and know it's part of the change and that we're going to come out on the other side just stronger. Kind of like a piece of coal, it gets stronger and becomes a diamond because of the pressure and the fire it goes through. That's what we're in the process of. We're not getting older, we're getting better.
I actually have a meme that I post from time to time, and it's exactly that. No pressure, no diamonds.
Exactly.
So, yeah. And it's interesting. It's kind of fun. I've had a few fellows on recently about this same time of life, and you know they talk generally, but this is a lot of fun talking to another woman. And as you say, that this whole menopause thing, like instead of dreading it or going like, oh my God, I'm going crazy, or like it has such negative connotations so often, and to say no, like just embrace it and turn it around and take it into the future instead of sort of just always fretting what's past and what's gone and everything else. I'm fortunate enough to say that I've had a fairly easy time of it, and I say
Good.
I was born before hormones were invented.
I
So.
love that. And some women go through it, they don't even notice. Like they don't, their body just, you know, deals with it very easily. And there's a lot of symptoms women don't know about. And I honestly wasn't even sure about putting it in my book, because when I came up with the idea of the book, or I actually the idea came to me because I was terrified of turning 50. I was like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen when I turn 50? I was at 46 or 47, and I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like I need to like address menopause, but I don't know. Like I just knew about hot flashes, and you know, I didn't, and weight gain, like that's what you hear about. Like I didn't know anything. And so I was really, oh, about putting it in there. But now that I'm actually in it, and I did a lot of research, I'm like, okay, now I actually know things. And one of the things that women don't realize is it gives you the permission to really take care of yourself. Because so often as women, we don't take care of ourselves. We're taking care of the kids, the husband, the job, the parents, like everything else but us. And, you know, it's more than just going and getting your hair and your nails done. You know, that's great to do that, but really caring for your physical body and appreciating it, and, you know, feeding it better, getting the sleep you need, getting the water, getting the exercise, you know, taking, you know, hormones if you need it, or finding alternatives to that, like getting acupuncture, Ayurvedic medicine. And I talk about all this in my book. You know, it just gives us that extra opportunity, and we don't have any excuse not to do it because we literally have to do it to get through this. So it's like getting that self-care is so important. And having been a massage therapist for 20 years, and I'm certified in yoga, and I've been doing yoga since 1990, you know, it's like you're like, okay, I have to slow down, take care of myself, maybe take a nap, get the bath, you know, get some alone time, whatever it is you need. Because then we can actually do better in our lives, and we have more to give when we're taking care of ourselves. Like, I'm super passionate about this.
Well, my first reaction is to say, stick with me, kid. I actually had the police come out to my 50th.
Really?
Now, I mean, it's not quite as exciting as it sounds. It was obviously a grumpy neighbor, although I'd invited them all, because it was Barry White on the stereo that they thought was too offensive.
Really?
Yeah, really, that deep, you know, you'll never find, I can't even go that
Oh my goodness.
low. Ah, dear, but I
Wow,
was just
that's
excited to have them there. I was just excited.
exactly. It's like, it makes me think that maybe somebody ordered strippers for your party, you know, and that.
I would have closed the drapes in that case. I mean, at least I've got that much class. Why share with the neighborhood?
Exactly.
Oh, dear. Okay, so myths about turning 50. You're determined to break them. I'm determined to break the myths of these women turning 70.
Nice.
What are yours biggest myths?
Okay. One of the biggest one is that you can't be sexy if you have gray hair. And I'm like, bullshit. Like, that is so not true. Because it's like, and we're so afraid of our hair growing gray. And I was, and the women in my family gray early. My grandmother was completely white by the time she was 30. I don't remember her having any other color of hair. But it's like I was kind of scared because it's like I've been going gray since I was 15, and like I always dyed it, and then I, in my 40s, I started putting in the blonde streaks because my hair was very dark brown, and then sometime in 2020, it went completely gray, and I'd gone blonde, short and blonde, and I didn't notice, and I dyed my hair bright pink, and as it was like bright fuchsia pink, it was supposed to be light pink, but as it was fading out, I'm like, oh, that looks kind of cool. And I was like, wait a minute, my hair's gray. Like, it just, I didn't even know it had happened. I was like, oh, okay. And it's fun because then you can dye it different colors. You can go pink, purple, dark blue. And I did a dark blue, dark blue, which was supposed to be temporary. It had to grow out. And I did not know that because I was going to go back to blonde. And there was a stylist in Mexico City, an expert. Very expensive expert. He's like, no. He's like, we will ruin your hair and it will cost you a fortune. It's got to grow out. And I was like, okay. And so, and it looked really cool to have this like dark blue and then the gray on top. It was like a reverse ombre. And I was kind of like, oh, it actually looks really good. So I just kind of kept it, you know?
Well, I'm
So,
on an experiment because this dark brown at 70 is natural.
oh, you're lucky. Oh my goodness. Oh my
And well,
goodness.
it's my dad's genetics.
Wow.
But I've got gray, not a lot, but I've got some gray. But I've told all my friends and kids that the day I show up bright pink or purple is the day that I've decided there's enough gray to let's just have fun with it. But in the meantime, I'm curious how long I can
Exactly.
carry this off.
Exactly. Oh my goodness. Well, that is amazing. Because my hair
So.
was really dark brown, but like now all of a sudden it just went gray and I was like, okay, well, we're gonna rock this. And I was so adamant about not having gray hair for the longest time. I'm like, I'm gonna dye it till I'm 90, or I'm gonna cut it off and look like a cancer patient. Like, I'm not do I'll just shave it. Like, I'm not going gray. And then I was like, you know what? I really love it. Like, I feel very fortunate, very blessed. Like, I really do love my hair. And this is like the first season of my life I've gone short too, because it used to always be long. But I just love it because your hair is an expression of who you are. And a lot of times when we're going through a lot of internal changes, the easiest thing we do and the first thing we do is we cut our hair.
Yeah. And I will say too that I think it helps generally. Now, obviously, you figured this out for yourself, but it helps generally that a lot of really public facing women are going gray. And I think COVID helped with that, but just embracing it and saying, this is who I am. Now, I will say to anybody out there who is coloring your hair, it is such a personal choice and anything
Exactly.
works, So whether you just leave it be or you do something with it, it's up to you. It's a free choice.
Exactly. And you just need to love yourself and do whatever you want to do. Because at this age, like, fuck it, you know, do whatever you want to do. One of the first places I moved to, the first place I moved to in Mexico when I moved down here was Zipolite. It is a clothing optional beach.
Okay.
And so I would walk my dogs naked on the beach every morning and evening. You know, it's like, why not? So,
I find that a lot of cultures aren't nearly as hung up on the nude body as North
no,
Americans are.
they're not. They're really not. And sometimes it surprises me when I get a massage in other countries because in the States, we're used to being completely draped and covered.
All right.
No, not in other countries. No, like you can be butt naked. And it does not faze them at all. And they're like, what's the problem? Like, you're fine. And I'm like, okay.
It's funny of all the things about moving to another country that I think going nude on a beach would be one of the biggest mental hurdles for me. Just because you get used to not liking your body and things sag and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, no, that's great. Now, going back to moving abroad.
Yes.
How did that really get the ball moving for you? Because you talk about it playing in your in the transformation.
It was not a conscious, it really was not a conscious decision. It was really funny because I just got to a point in my life where I was really unhappy. My massage career had ended because of the accident, and I was struggling in other lines of work. I became a life insurance agent, and then I became a funeral sales rep during COVID. And you would think that would be the easiest job ever at that time, but it was not. It was very, very challenging because no everyone wanted to redo their kitchen, but nobody wanted to pre-plan. Go figure. So it was during that time where I was just getting very unhappy. And I always do birthday trips. I love doing birthday trips for myself. So I was planning a birthday trip to San Diego, and it was going to be 10 days, which my employer was not thrilled with. And then I was like, I actually finally looked at the map. Like, I am geographically challenged. I'm directionally challenged. I have problems traveling. I get super anxious. Like, trust me, I'm the worst traveler ever. However, I finally looked at the map, realized how close it was to Mexico. And I've been coming down to Mexico for dental work since 2017 because it's way cheaper down here. And I just love Mexico. And so I decided to turn that 10-day trip into a 3-week trip, which my employer was not happy with. And somewhere along that line, I was like, fuck it, I'm moving to Mexico. Like, there was no real thought behind it, no
Okay.
like planning. And I had been looking at moving to other countries. Like, I thought it was going to be Vietnam. I thought it was going to be Thailand. I thought it was going to be something like that. But during COVID, like, everything had shut down. And I just got to a point in my life, I was like, I just can't do this anymore. And my Ayurvedic practitioner during one of my sessions with her, she was like, you're not happy. I'm like, yeah, but I can do this job. And she's like, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. And that really got me to thinking what I wanted in my life. And I'm like, I want to live by the beach because I'd never had that opportunity in my life, and it makes me happy. And I want to live in a city with great architecture and a walking city because I'd love living in Chicago. In Mexico, you get two of the three. You either get a walkable city and living by the beach, or you get great architecture and a walking city. You don't get all three. Like, it just doesn't happen here. So yeah, but I took that time, and 3-week trip turned into 2.5 months and no job. I will tell you that. They don't like that. They don't like that when you do that. I didn't know that.
Well, with all due respect, you must understand.
was like, I'll sell when I come back. It'll be okay. I found some amazing healers. That's kind of what kept me down in Mexico. I found amazing healers to help with my neck. And so for me, that was everything. And the last place I went to was Zipolite. I checked out a lot of different places that I'd read about online. I'm like, oh, this is a place to go for retirement, this place or that place. And I've been to over 30 towns in Mexico. And Zipolite was the one that was like, okay, this is the place. Like, I don't know why, but it just really spoke to me on a very deep level. And I did not realize how hot the beaches got during summer, especially with no air conditioning. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, that's why I don't live on the beach anymore. Yeah, but it's just like, so it's like moving abroad. It was not this beautifully planned out thing. It was really haphazard, and things kept changing and shifting and moving, and it wasn't one streamlined plan. Like, I will tell anyone out there that's listening that think it's like, oh, maybe I want to live abroad, or how do I do this? Like, your plans change, and they can change like that very quickly. And sometimes what you're wanting to do turns out very differently than how you imagined it. And that's kind of the beauty of it. It can be a little nerve-wracking at times, I will say that, because I was actually paying for my apartment in Mexico before I even moved. Because I thought I was going to come back to Dallas, pack all my stuff in my car with my dogs, and drive down to Mexico. Okay, that was my plan, right? Because I had a small SUV, and I had two roommates at the time. I'm like, oh, I'll just get somebody else for the third room. It'll be great. I'll be in and out and done and gone. I'll be on the beach for Christmas. No. That's not what happened. I came, well, before, a week before I came back, my roommate, who was Indian, had an arranged marriage. His wife was coming over from India, and he was like, oh, by the way, I have to move out. And I was like, oh, that's not good. That's really not good for me. And so I ended up telling the other roommate that he needed to leave because he just was not a people person, and there was no way that was going to work with other people.
Okay.
And so I remodeled my house, and then 3 months later, well, in March of 2021, I finally made it back down to Mexico. And I think one of the only reasons I really was able to push through all that and really get it done is because I was paying for an apartment. So I just got to the point, I'm like, I can't afford to keep paying for this. Like, I'm like, that kind of puts you in motion when you realize you got money going out and not getting anything for it. So sometimes things do not work out in a streamlined, easy plan. Just like with this book, this has not been the streamlined, easy plan that you think it's going to be. It's like, oh, I'll just write a book. Yeah, no.
Yeah, I've heard that. Now, I love the way that you're expressing all of this, telling us this story with such joy, because I'll be the first to admit I'm a little bit of an overthinker in some areas. So, if I thought about moving to Mexico, it'd be like, okay, well, let's talk about visas. Well, what about Canadian income tax? What about? And I would just, I'd probably stall out somewhere along the way because of, but you just sounds like you just jumped in there and you've sorted it out as you went.
I am such an overthinker too. I'm a Virgo and I've got a lot of Virgo in my charts. I mean, like, yeah, and I'm all earth, air, and fire. There's no water. So it's just like I can be totally in my head all the time about things. But because I had had the experience of being down in Mexico and at the times I had come down, I had really enjoyed it, even when I got like super freaking sick. Like there was a time I came down for dental work and I was working at a yoga retreat at the same time. I got deathly sick. But still, yeah, I think it's when kind of like when women have children, they forget the pain that they go through and they're just like, oh, it's a beautiful thing. That's kind of like me in traveling, okay? Like I don't think about all the things that, could happen. But moving abroad is a lot easier than people realize it is, especially for Canadians. Like one of the places I lived in Mexico, which is Huatulco, which is on the coast of Oaxaca, the Pacific coast. The Canadians invade every winter. Trust me, it is more Canadians than anything else. I'm like, I am the only American here. So
That's
yeah.
because we can't go to Florida anymore or Arizona.
Well, and they have such great snorkeling and everything. And Huatulco is just this really calm, quaint little Mexican town. Like, and it's just amazing. And Canadians are friendly. So Mexicans like you guys. I will say that. Yeah. So,
There we
but
go.
I know we can get caught up in overthinking, like, oh, how's this going to work? How's that going to work? Oh my God. And we can get caught up in the logistics. And I will say, if it's meant to be, it will happen. If you have a desire in your heart for something that you really want to do, it can definitely happen. It may not happen in the way you think. It can be very different than how you think it's going to happen. And a lot of times it'll be better and easier in the long run. But as humans, I think we get so caught in trying to control everything and make things happen. And like, how is this going to work? Like the Rubik's Cube, trying to unwind that. I know I do. Trust me. There are things I'm struggling with right now in my life. I'm like, how is this going to work? But it all works out. And I really think if you want to move abroad or just come down for 6 months, like get out there for the winter time. My goodness, honey, you can do your podcast anywhere.
Yeah, no,
Do it on
absolutely.
the beach, have some fun with it, for heaven's sake. It is so much easier than people make it out to be honest. And you can always dip your toe in the water and see if you like it. Because a lot of times, I have seen people come down and like, I'm going to be here. And they don't really explore. And they just kind of pick one place and buy a house. And they're like, oh, what'd I do? Like, I don't really like this area, or this isn't really what I thought it was going to be because it can be different. So, yeah, just dip your toe in, take some trips, explore a little bit. Like, it's fun and have fun with it. Like, part of the adventure is the messiness of it and the meeting new people. And my Spanish is still god awful. Like, I was just told this morning I'm not pronouncing Wednesday correctly. And I was like, ha, I didn't realize that. After 4 years, I thought I was saying it right. But that's one of my hurdles is like my Spanish is not very good. I have a horrible time with pronunciation, but I'm really friendly and there's Google Translate. Like in this day and age, we have so much technology and ways to work around things. And places like Mexico it's a tourist country, so people are very welcoming. And that's the other thing. Like if you go to another country, like if you want to go and explore and travel, which I encourage, there's a chapter in my book on that about exploring and traveling. Is that realize that people are so friendly. And I really think that if more people traveled and got out there and explored the world, we'd have less conflict because you'd realize people are the same all over the world, and they want to be kind and helpful and generous and accommodating. And especially for foreigners, like they want you to feel comfortable in their country and they want to help you. Just don't be a jerk. That's the biggest thing.
That's
Like,
everywhere. Don't be a jerk.
well, it's like sometimes people think like if I just speak louder in English, they'll understand. It's like no, if they don't understand English, speaking really loud doesn't help. But sometimes pantomiming, I get really good at pantomiming. That could actually be good. But yeah, just get out there and travel and do it and explore. Like I think women in general need to not be so afraid of traveling, especially traveling by themselves. I have gone everywhere by myself. Because I realized during my first trip, my friend's like, "Oh, I want to go too. I want to go to Italy." I was like, "Okay, well, this isn't the information I found." And I was waiting and waiting and waiting on her. And finally, I was like, "Okay, you know what? I've got to buy the ticket because they're going to go out." So I'm like, "This is what I bought. Here you go." And she made all these excuses about not coming, and she could have come. Like, she actually got severance pay from her job, which she didn't realize was going to happen, and she could have come with me. But it's just like, you need to just be bold sometimes, be like, I am going to do this. And I think traveling is the best investment in yourself you will ever make, and it's the best education you will ever have. And at this stage in our life, being able to learn new things and see things differently, it helps us prevent getting Alzheimer's. So if you look at it like that, it's preventative medicine.
Yeah, no, very true. And this is just sort of a little side thought is, if somebody was really concerned, so many places they've got expat communities anyways. You can always start there and then, branch out once you feel a little bit more comfortable on the beach with no
Absolutely.
clothes.
And you can actually do that online. Go to the Facebook communities, because there is Facebook groups for every major and a lot of really small places too, all over the world. So no matter where you're going to go, just Google expat foreigners in whatever city and it'll pop up. And some of the groups, like, they can be a little toxic at times, but they are very helpful as far as logistics and giving you honest information. They love to support each other in that way. So it's an easy way to do it online. You can explore and look at everything and kind of get a feel for what's it really like, what does it cost. And one of the things that will trip you up living internationally is the small things. Like, some of the things we take for granted in the States and probably Canada too are done differently in other countries. And so it's like, oh, okay, so to recharge my phone, I can do it online, but if that's not working and I go to the store, that can take longer. Little things like that sometimes can take a little bit longer, but overall, it's really just amazing to be able to live in other countries and meet other people and explore. It really is.
Well, and realistically, you can move across your own country and have a learning curve, So, yeah. Now, at my age, my father would slap me for asking you this question, but you talk about it. You talk about passive income. How did you do that, may we ask?
Yes, absolutely. I actually rented my house out, and I originally that's how I originally did it. Is I did it by renting my house out, and originally I thought I was going to sell everything and rent it out and furnished. And honestly, like, nothing. It was during Christmas time. Nothing was selling online. And I was like, I don't know what to do. So I ended up renting it out as an Airbnb, and it was long term for nurses. That's originally how it started. And then I switched to short-term renting, and the first people that rented my house trashed it. So I went back to renting to nurses. I figured that out. But yeah, so, and I'm also learning investing. So that's one of the things I committed to last year, because I've lost a lot of money in trading. And so I decided I'm going to learn how to trade and have my money grow so I can make money any place, anytime, anywhere.
There you go. Yeah, and I've heard some stories about people who put aside what sounded to me like not a heck of a lot of a nest egg, but they, like at age 35, are fully retired and traveling and managing to live on the income from that small amount of money. So,
Exactly.
yeah.
Exactly. And money goes a lot further in other countries than the States and Canada. It does. I was just in Colombia for 6 months, which I love Colombia also. And I was a little scared about going to Colombia. I was like, because I grew up on Romancing the Stone. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up on that with Kathleen Turner and Michael Douglas.
Yeah,
And I was
yeah.
just like, it was like all about like the cartel and things like that. And I was like, oh my gosh. But my intuition was like, yeah, you need to go to Colombia. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to Colombia. And I don't plan out anything when I travel. I just kind of go and kind of let my intuition lead me these days. My first trip, I wanted to have everything planned out where I was staying, because I was terrified of not having a place to stay. And so these days, though, I just kind of let my intuition guide me. And it turns out really well.
Now, I was listening to one of your conversations. You talked about couch surfing, and I know another couple who do. I mean, they did that with young teenage kids, and they had some interesting adventures, but they saved a ton of cash.
You actually can. And I originally got introduced to couch surfing because I was hosting people in my house for couch surfing.
Okay.
That was before I ever did Airbnb. I was actually housing people for couch surfing. And there was a guy from Finland who was my first, I think it's the first person I hosted. And it was just so much fun hosting him. He told me about hostels and couch surfing, which I had no idea. And so my first trip, I actually booked couch surfing, which my first experience in Spain was amazing. My host was great. In Italy, it was a nightmare. It was not good at all. And you spend a lot of time and energy finding people to host you on couch surfing. And then you also want to have a backup plan just in case they flake out, because that does happen quite a bit. So there is that kind of like, an alternative to that for people that want to travel and save money also, like especially if you're going to do more longer extended traveling, is looking at different opportunities like Workaway. And there's a lot of house sitting, pet sitting gigs you can do.
That's what I'm doing currently.
Oh, nice. Very nice. Yeah, it makes such a difference because then you get to see different parts of the world. You save money on that, and you're also being of service to other people. So it's really a beautiful thing. But there's also so many programs now where you can work in exchange for boarding and food. So that can save you a lot. And you can also, like you like gardening or painting or construction or language exchange. Like there's so many different ways to do it these days.
Partway through our conversation, I was thinking we might be scaring a few people away, but I think
Okay.
we're bringing them back in now. But if someone's going like, oh yeah, sounds so cool, but they're feeling stuck, a little nervous, how do they begin to rebuild that confidence and sort of go for whatever comes next, the next adventure, the next person that they're going to be?
One tiny step at a time. Okay. Because I did not jump into all of this automatically. When I knew that I wanted to start traveling, I actually decided to go and book a hotel. I was living in Dallas. I booked a hotel in Fort Worth, which was 45 minutes away. That was a little tiny step. So that's what I did. I started welcoming couch surfers into my home. Those were the tiny steps I took. And then I started using airline miles and flying on Spirit Airlines, traveling around the US, staying with friends or getting cheap hotels, just traveling super light. So it's those little tiny steps. So it's like if you do want to, like especially if you think that maybe you want to retire someplace or start traveling, or start learning to invest or things like that, take one little step at a time. And we're in a day and age right now where there's so much information. It's information overload, actually. I recommend talking to ChatGPT or one of the other AIs, and they can give you some advice too, especially given like what your threshold is for adventure or change or confidence. You can start helping to build those things up one brick at a time. It doesn't happen all at once. However, what can happen, and it can happen very quickly, is we can have major changes. Because those little tiny steps, you're layering it up and progressing. Just like when kids learn how to start reading or writing or the learning the colors and shapes, it builds very quickly. So, and it's like taking that approach of having some enthusiasm and curiosity about it instead of being so heavy with it. Because we tend to be really heavy and hard on ourselves, and we're adults and we should figure this out and we should know this. But just have some curiosity about it because you really can change your life very quickly if you want to. But you just have to really want it. And it's like for me, I just knew that I needed to change. I knew I wanted to live internationally. And for me, it was just something that I really needed to do because I was very unhappy, and now I get to live a life that I absolutely love. I mean, not every day is like roses and sunshine every day. Like it's life, and I think a lot of people are going through it right now. Like for some reason this year, it's just people are kind of going through it. And so it's like, start dreaming about what you want your future to be like, what you want next year to be like, 5 years, 10 years to be like, because we are really redesigning our lives. 50 isn't old anymore, 60 isn't old anymore, 70 isn't old anymore. For our parents, that was, old, considered to be 50 was considered to be old. It's not anymore. And so we're at this time in our life where we have the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years ahead of us. And that is so exciting because who knows what's going to happen? We could have flying cars and like new bodies and teleportation and like who knows what's going to happen? And the world becomes a very small place because we have so much technology, and we really can find out things that we could never find out before.
And I call people when, they use terms like, I'm 70 years young, or 70 is the new 40 or whatever it is. I'm going like, no, this is what 70 looks like these days. Own it. Because
Exactly.
it's only going to get better. So let's start owning it now, so the next generation who are going to live to 120 can own
Exactly.
it, that sort of thing.
Exactly. And I know women in their 70s and they're just amazing. I'm like, dang, you have more energy than I do. I love it.
Now, I'm also glad you mentioned ChatGPT, because I just recently signed up for a course on AI, and I went into ChatGPT and just started asking questions about the podcast. And I'm getting answers that I'm going like, oh my God, I would never have thought of that. What a great idea. And so that leads to the next question. And it could you can do so much good with ChatGPT or AI. It doesn't have to be creating, dreadful videos about, being mean to people and stuff like that. Just embrace what you need it for, and grow with what it gives you, and then ask the
Exactly.
next question or backtrack a bit, like all that sort of stuff. So I'm really impressed with ChatGPT. Just get that in
It's
there.
It is very helpful. I am not a technology person, and I just made a commitment this year that I want to get better at technology and I want to learn AI because it is the wave of the future. Now, I was a massage therapist for 20 years. I worked in a little dark room. Like, I did not do MySpace. I didn't do any of that because I'm like, it's going to change. Like, why am I going to learn that and spend time learning? Because it's just going to change. And then, like, I have to know this because it's only going to get more and more. So it's like learning and growing with it, or you're going to get left behind.
Well,
And
it's
it
the old
is
story. The
super
best
helpful.
time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The next best time is today. So like
Exactly.
get on board now, and 5 years from now, it'll only be a small growth, as opposed to going, oh my God, look at the mountain I have to climb now.
Exactly. And it makes such a difference. And ChatGPT is sometimes a little too helpful. It will lie to you. I will tell you that. It'll tell you it can do things it cannot do. Because I was trying to do something to go through one of my other book that I have and build something out with it. And it was like, oh yeah, I can put your picture in the back of the book. It can't do that now. It might be able to do it, in a little bit, but we went round and round for days on that. And I was like, you just freaking lied to me. I know you're a man. Like, you just lied to me.
Just speaking of pictures, I had a picture of myself that I kind of liked, and so I put it in ChatGPT and I said, could you make this look a little bit more LinkedIn? And so it gave me a picture back, and I went, oh, okay, this is really good. I said, could you make me look, just because I look very solemn, I said, could you make me look a little happier? What came back then was like, nothing like me. And I'm going, okay, we'll go at this a different way, because I'm not going to use this one, because people are going to go like, not even the same person. So
I love
that
that.
was funny. But now, talk to me about success. And you talk about this in your talking points, like success, what you thought success was at 30, maybe even 40, and what you think of it now. Like, and I think I know what you're going to answer, but you tell us.
Well, it's really funny because, in our 30s and 40s, we're like, oh, we have to have the house and the career and we have to be doing all these things, in order to be successful, and we have to have
She just
those
used air quotes there,
things.
folks.
We have to have those things, and especially in America, we're very programmed to have that. And that's never been a really strong part of my identity. But there is that pressure to like be established and be doing things with your career and your home and things like that. And at this point in my life, I'm like, success is really me just being happy and doing what I want, having the freedom to do what I want. I mean, for me, that's what success is, and I have been very blessed and very fortunate that I have designed my life in a way that I can do that. So it's like success is not what it used to look like. It's not like having the McMansions and the cars and all the things. For me, it's experiences. Having those experiences and being able to really love myself and do what I want, and I think that's we're stepping into an era where we have a lot more freedom. and a lot more ability to do those things.
Yeah, I will say that I sold my last house in 2016, and at that point in time, I had some people go like, "You've got to keep the house."
I know.
And that was 2016, so here we are 9 years later, and when people realize what my lifestyle is like now, they're leaning in and going, "Oh, tell me more." You know,
Exactly.
so yeah, it
Exactly.
really does change.
And I actually sold my house last year because the market just changed. Like Dallas decided they weren't going to be letting Airbnbs anymore. And my tenants decided to move out with no notice. And like everything just shifted and I couldn't rent the house. And like the property taxes tripled, the interest tripled. And I was like, I'm like, what just happened? And realizing that I didn't set it up in a way that really made it a business, you know? So it's like you learn things as you go, you know? And it's like it was a little heartbreaking to sell it. But at this time, also, I don't have to worry about the furnace repairs. I don't have to worry, you know, if the tree's crashing down on the roof. I don't have to worry about people trashing my house anymore. I don't have to worry about squatters if it's empty. You know, I don't have that mental heaviness anymore. So it does free you up in a way to live your life completely different and to not have that weighing on you. And then you learn other ways to make the money and to create the income. You know, and everything's online these days.
And I think you'll probably agree that at no point in time is it impossible to stop and either change gears or change lanes completely. You know, you just figure out what is the best route, and you follow that path. And if it's not turns out to not be the best route, then you change paths again.
Exactly. And you know what? Let's face it, we've gotten this far in life. You know, we've gotten this far. We've made it so far. And it's like all the times we think that, oh, this is the right decision. It turns out to maybe not be the thing that really was you were in alignment with. So it's like being able to have that fluidity and mobility and be able to change and shift gears, it makes such a difference.
Okay, so your book, it's called 50 Fabulous and Fuckable. When
Yes.
we first started communicating, I mentioned I really liked the term unfuckwithable. I think that's
Yes.
just great. I love that. How
Yes.
did you come up with your title? And then tell
It
us about the book.
actually just came to me. I really think my book was divinely inspired because I was so terrified of turning 50, that I wanted to become empowered and inspired by it. And so then I decided I wanted to inspire and empower other women turning 50. And the name of the book came to me. I did not have to sit down and think about it or hash it around. And I was like, oh my gosh, can I say this? Am I allowed to say this? Like, you know, can you say that about women turning 50? Like, I didn't know, but I was like, that's the name of the book. And I mean, it's a brilliant name, but it came to me just like the book came to me. I didn't have to really sit down and stress about it or get writer's block or anything like that. Like, everything just kind of flowed through me. And that's why it's something I'm very passionate about because I believe that it is like my mission here to do it, even though it has been a quite a challenging experience, I will say that. But you know, nothing worth doing is easy. Isn't that what they say?
Now, I saw somewhere that you have an advanced readers list. Are you still collecting
Yes.
names?
Yes, I am. And I would love people to sign up for that because I would love to see what other people think of the book and if it flows and if it resonates with them. I would love for people to sign up and give me some feedback because I'm in pre-launch right now, looking at releasing it on December 30th. And it's like, for me, I've been with the book and 3 years and I've been working on it. And so I know what the book says in my mind, but I want to make sure it resonates with other women and that it makes sense, or if I need to change things or make it a little more fluid. And they can actually sign up with that for that through my Beacon store. I have beacons.ai / transform be courageous, and I am transform be courageous on TikTok and Instagram, and you can get through my store on those links also. And bear in mind that technology has not been my strong point, so I'm building everything out myself, so please be kind.
Okay,
But you
I'm
can.
just going to stop you for a second because where I was looking at your advanced readers list, like get a copy, you talked about being able to leave a review on Amazon.
Yes.
Now, I just want to interject here that, for example, I cannot leave a review on Amazon because As soon as I go, like leave a review, I don't buy enough through Amazon. So they actually say, you're not a good enough customer to merit leaving.
Interesting.
Yeah. So just food for thought for both you and our listeners
Right.
is that, yeah, because I've tried that with a couple of books that it's like, okay, no, I really want to read this book. And I've been invited to be an advanced reader. And then I go into Amazon and they say, nope, you're not a good enough customer. So, because I try not to give Mr. Bezos too much of my
Right,
money.
interesting. I don't either. So this will be interesting. I did not know that. So thank you for telling me that.
Yeah.
Because the way that I do have it set up, like people sign up through my link, and then when the book actually releases on Amazon, you go there, you download it, and leave the review.
Yeah.
So then you get two copies of the book, basically.
Yeah.
That's interesting, though. I'll have to check that out. I didn't know that.
Yeah, because I've tried
Wow.
three times for sure that I can think of, and had to sign out both times because or all three times. So,
I haven't bought
yeah.
anything from Amazon in years. I hope they like me.
Well, what you should maybe go on and try to leave a review for somebody else and see what happens. Yeah, there's always something.
Oh, I see. Yeah, you got to just love it and roll with it. Well, thank you for letting me know that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, that's great. Is there anything we haven't talked about that you want mid-age women to think about having listened to this conversation and your enthusiasm?
Oh, I really want them to know that if they want to change their life, they can. Like one of the things that I did that people say can't be done is that you can't lose weight in menopause or even perimenopause. And I had struggled with my weight my whole life. Like for some reason, as soon as I turn, 30 to like my 40s, like I could not lose the weight for anything. And I tried everything. Like I tried Nutrisystem, Jenny Craig. I tried everything, all the different diets and trainers and everything. And for me, it wasn't until I learned about Ayurvedic medicine, which is medicine from is a very natural type of plant-based and kind of like rhythmic cycle energy medicine from India. It's been around for 5,000 years. 5,000 years, so I trust it. But it wasn't until I found that when I was in yoga teacher training that it completely changed my life because I had struggled and struggled and struggled with my weight loss. And as women, that's something we tend to focus on a lot. And so it's like, it has very simple like techniques and things like where you like change the times that you eat, give yourself permission to eat and enjoy your food. Don't eat in your car. For me being American, I was like, because we're like eating and driving at the same time, so I was like, oh, I'm not supposed to do that. And then I worked with some practitioners that gave me some herbs that really kickstarted my digestion. So that's something that like a lot of people are like, oh, you can't lose weight in menopause and you're going to gain weight in perimenopause and it's going to be so hard for you. Like, I don't want women to like be attached to that because I don't think that's true. Yes, you do have to give your body more self-care and be more aware and conscious of things and get movement and do things that might be different just so we don't aren't so sedentary and do strength training so we have muscle. But yeah, like you can do it. If I can do it, because trust me, I struggled and struggled and struggled. And it wasn't until I found Ayurvedic medicine that I started losing the weight. And it wasn't through deprivation. And then I swear every time I come to Mexico, I lose 20 pounds. Like I swear. I swear that happens. I don't know what it is,
Well, you're
but it's
probably on the
true.
go more, and then food is probably closer to natural
It
than
is.
our highly processed food up here in North America.
It is, but it's funny because I gained weight when I went to Colombia and I come back to Mexico and I'm losing weight
Oh.
again. And I'm like, yes. Because I have put on a few pounds this year and I do know that, but there's been a lot of changes. So it's like, and it's not something to beat myself up about. It's to acknowledge it and be like, okay, I need to work out. I need to be moving. I need to be a little more conscious of things, but it's like, don't be afraid of midlife. Don't be afraid of menopause. Embrace and enjoy it and know that it's going to fucking rock. Like, it's going to be an amazing experience. And I think our generation, like Gen X, is changing the way women view 50 and menopause. Like, it's going to be amazing.
Well, I often said that at my age, I'm too old to be one of the women that will change the world, but I'm definitely want to be a role model for the next generation of women who will change the world. So there you go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, in giving your voice to it and doing the podcast, that is a way to contribute and to make a definite change and to inspire other women. Because it's like once you do a podcast, it's out there, you know, forever. So I think that's amazing what you're doing. It's such a great way to reach other people and to create that change. It's amazing.
Yeah, and I'm in my sixth year now, and I look back at some of the guests, and I just go like, "Oh my God,
Wow.
I need to revisit that subject," or you know, whatever. It's pretty cool. You know, it got me
Yeah.
through COVID. I didn't have to be social out and about. I could just be social right here.
I
It was
love that.
great. Yeah.
I absolutely love it. Well, I do want to mention, because I always forget this, I have created a couple of free mini courses for people. They're on my site, so please feel free to get those. One is on self-love, and the other is the Fearless Traveler's Kids. And it's just a fun little course. Kind of helps shake you up a little about traveling and tells you what to bring. So, but they're both just fun little courses.
Okay,
But
so where do we
freebies are
find
always
you?
good.
Do you have a website, or do we find you like on TikTok and Instagram and
You can find me on TikTok and Instagram, transform, be courageous. And then I have a hub. It's beacons.ai/transform, be courageous. And I do have a website I'm building. I just need to choose a name.
Oh no. Well, what about your transform thing? Okay,
Transform,
yeah,
be
I've got that here.
courageous.
Okay, so the links are
TikTok
here.
and Instagram, and then through, and that'll
Beacon.
take you. There's a link in my bio on both of those that will take you to my Beacon store, and you can find everything through there. I
Yeah.
know technology has been learning curve for me, and everything I've been doing this year has been new. And I'm like, oh my goodness, the podcasts, getting the book ready, learning everything, technology, AI, like it's all been new this year. And I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, no, that's great. You jumped in, you didn't run away, so that's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I ask you a personal question? We haven't gotten
Yeah.
personal enough, Lord knows,
Oh,
walking nude on the
of
beach,
course
but
not.
that's
Yeah.
okay. Now, I'm going to set your life up for you. Money is no object, in any way, shape, or form. You've got a free airline ticket, and you've got a lovely place to live when you get there. Where would you go of all the places that you have or haven't been? Because I got a list here. I got Spain, Italy, Turkey, Egypt, Mexico, Aruba, Portugal, Colombia. And there's maybe more that I missed. I don't know.
There's a lot. It's such a hard decision because honestly, I am dying to go to Thailand, Vietnam, and India. Those are the three big ones for me still. And then
Okay.
China and Japan. But if money were no object, I think I might have to go back to Venice. Like, I love Venice, Italy. I do. Venice is just such a romantic place, and it's just so inspiring for me personally. It's one of the places I absolutely love. But yeah, I just still want to go so many places.
Yeah.
That's such a hard decision.
I'll promote my own lifestyle for just a second here too, insofar as a pet slash house sitter, I'm currently on a 5 week sit because this
Nice.
couple have gone, I mean, they landed in Hong Kong. I'm not sure where they are
Oh,
today.
nice.
And then the entire month of December, I'm pet sitting, house sitting for a couple who are going to Thailand and environment around there. So
Nice.
yeah, I mean it's one of those things. It's like, okay, if this isn't lighting a fire under my butt, nothing will. So
Exactly. And just out of curiosity, what site do you use to get your bookings through?
oh, Trusted House Sitters.
Okay, I've used them too. Yeah.
Oh, okay. There's
Okay.
another one called Rover that you can set a
Okay.
price.
Oh,
So if you're
nice.
pet sitting, and I was looking, I've got some other changes coming, so I haven't set up my full thing on Rover yet, but the average price, at least around here in Canada, is $35 a night to move
Nice.
into somebody's house and take care of their pets. So I'm thinking,
Nice.
okay, I could also get paid to do this. This is great.
You
So,
absolutely can. And you can even
yeah.
build a portfolio on Canva and have a website for yourself. And then you can
Yeah.
create bookings through that also. And I think it's nice. Like, I love the free aspect of it for both the people doing it, the giver and the receiver. But sometimes people, when you're house sitting, they request a lot. Like, I had a friend doing it on the beach, and they had like this whole, they were basically having to be the gardener, the maintenance man, like everything. And I'm like, that's a lot to do for free.
Yeah,
So,
yeah.
yeah, that's an interesting perspective.
Okay, something to keep in mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always pre-meet them. So that
Good.
works for them. Well, because it's local. You know, right now I'm
Yes.
still
Yeah.
local, but
Oh, nice.
yeah, there's always
Yeah,
something to think about.
you need to come down to Mexico. You should come down to
There
Mexico.
you go. I got to go to the Caymans. I got to go to the DR, and I got to go to Spain first. After that, I'll come and see you.
Okay, great. Okay, there you go. Love it.
Okay. All of your links, got all of them here,
Yes.
are going to be on your page at our website. It will include the link to early sign up, but maybe you want to figure that one out too a little bit for the book. Listeners, Tina has jumped into and accomplished a bunch of life events that, as I said in my intro, many of us would be happy with just one of. What do you think? Are you motivated? Leave comments where you're listening, or if you're listening at boomwithabang.com, scroll to the bottom of the page and talk to us there. If there was a question I didn't ask, Tina, ask it in the comments and I'll get you an answer. Share this episode. Sometimes all we need to start is to know that someone has done it before us. Sharing this conversation with a friend could well be the motivation you both need to jump into an adventure you've been talking about for far too long. If you enjoyed this conversation, click the follow button at your favorite podcast platform. It helps us grow. I'm also registered at Substack. Following there is free, and you get notified every time an episode is released. Quick reminder to check out the resource tab at boomwithabang.com. You can look up previous podcast episodes by subject. You can find books written by guests. You and I will keep in touch there, Tina, and you will get your book up there. Some interesting courses and offerings, lists of age-appropriate job and philanthropic possibilities. And as we've been talking about off and on, if you're at all curious about the life of a house slash pet sitter, I'm journaling that journey on the website too. Tina Coleman, thank you for being my guest today, sharing your adventures, but also motivating us to jump into our own with gusto. Or is it gusto?
Absolutely.
Gusto. Have a great rest of week.
I will. You too. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.